This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
It's so hard as a parent to see your newborn baby suffer with tummy pain. Baby's discomfort from colic, gas, and reflux can be devastating for the entire family. You feel completely helpless as they struggle, only being told that they'll outgrow it. What is colic, and can it be cured? I'm Jacqueline Lawrence, founder of Colic Calm Gripewater, and this is Parent Savers, Episode 10.
Faster than a speeding toddler.
Sit still for just a minute.
Can soothe boo-boos with a gentle kiss.
Would you get down from there?
Able to clean poopy bottoms in a single swipe.
Oh, what did you eat?
Turning frazzled mommies and daddies into procreators of peace and harmony.
Ah, quit touching me.
It's Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
Welcome to Parent Savers, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Casey Wilt. Parent Savers is all about helping new parents preserve their sanity by getting you expert advice from the baby years through the toddler years. Feel free to send us emails or suggestions on our website, parentsavers.com, or on our Facebook page. And you can call the Parent Savers hotline at 619-866-4775. I'm a new parent myself. My son Carson is now 17 months old, and I'm joined by one new parent here in the studio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sunny Galt. I'm 34 years old. I am actually the host of Parent Savers' sister show, Preggy Pals, which is all about pregnancy. And I was pregnant, not pregnant anymore, just had my little baby a couple weeks ago. And this was our second boy. And so two kids all together and loving every minute of it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Before we start today's show, here's a parent's guide to babysitting.
Hi, Parent Savers. This is Jody with Urban Sitter, a website that connects you to friend-tested sitters. I'm here to help you figure out the right questions to ask when searching for a babysitter. When am I going to need a sitter? When embarking on the search for a babysitter, it's important to ask yourself, when am I going to use this sitter? Do you need a fast responder that can be available for spur-of-the-moment work functions? Perhaps someone primarily available in the evenings for date nights, or a dependable sitter to cover scheduled daytime events such as doctor's appointments? If you need someone on short notice, then you're going to need to find someone who lives nearby and responds quickly to requests. Also, be sure to confirm the sitter's transportation situation. You'll need to pick them up, or do they have a reliable way to get to your home? Some sitters are only looking for occasional work on the weekends, while others may be up for consistent part-time work. So set expectations up front so neither you nor the sitter is disappointed when a job is declined. The goal is to build yourself a network of sitters with a range of availability so you are never left in a bind. None of us should have to depend on one sitter. Let's face it, most babysitters are young adults who are still learning to be responsible. Look for a sitter who responds quickly to your emails or phone calls, and it's a good indication that they will show up to your babysitter sitting job on time. Okay, Parent Savers, it's time to say hello to your old friend Spontaneity. Visit urbansitter.com to find and book babysitters your friends know and love.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. What does the Weather Channel app share in common with a personal trainer and a life coach? It's an ally on your quest to wellness. What you do with its insight is up to you. Like running an extra mile when air quality is good, or checking your allergy forecast so not even ragweed can disrupt your chi. It's more than a weather app. What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
Today on Parent Savers, we have Jacqueline Lawrence, founder of Colic Calm Gripewater, here to talk with us about ways to cure colic. So, What is colic? What's the definition of it?
Well, that's actually a tricky question. Although there are many theories, there are no scientifically proven causes for colic. Most experts do agree, however, on the rule of threes, defined as a baby who's otherwise healthy and well-fed, mm-hmm. but cries for at least three hours a day, three times a week for a period of 3 weeks.
Well, what if you have, like, you know, 6 hours one day and like 1 hour the next day?
You're right. In general, those are guidelines. Again, it's pretty tricky, but that's the general frame.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So really, we're just looking for crying. Is that that's the main symptom here that we're looking for?
Right. And there are definitely certain signs that I'll get into about the telltale crying.
Okay. Well, tell me, what are
signs
they?
Right now?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, the typical symptoms include vigorous crying for long periods, despite efforts to console. And I think that's the real key, is that it becomes inconsolable. Hmm. Episodes usually begin and end around the same time of day and pretty abruptly.
Same time of day, so what if it's all day?
Oftentimes it can be after meals. Specifically, that is a very common time, and in the evening or afternoons.
Why is that?
Those are particularly difficult. You know, there's a lot of theories. One is that the overstimulation from the day, you have to remember that babies are new to this world, their digestive systems are very immature, so are their nervous systems. So they're bombarded with all of the stimuli during the day, mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, it's very difficult for them just to shut that out. So oftentimes that's when they become particularly irritable and fussy. We've all heard of the witching hour. Mm-hmm. And there's various things that you can do now, fortunately, to help calm baby at the end of the day, which is typically, even for a normal, you know, really healthy child that doesn't cry very often, is still a very difficult time of day for most new parents.
So it's not necessarily colic. It would just be, you know.
Right. That could just be crying from overstimulation, from various things. Of course, we eliminate hunger and all the basics, like a wet diaper and that sort of thing. And sometimes they just need to be close to parents. You know, it's just a need to feel safe and protected.
Are there some babies that are more prone to getting colic? I'm just thinking about new parents out there. Before they have their baby, mm-hmm. they may be thinking, oh my goodness, how is there any way to prevent my child getting colic?
Right. And we'll definitely talk about the things that you can do, because there's quite a bit.
Okay.
But it's best to be prepared, to do your homework. I went into new motherhood thinking that it was going to be very idealistic.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think we all did some level.
I had my leave from teaching high school, and I was like, oh, this is going to be total bliss. Uh-huh. Well, the reality was definitely a different story. Uh-huh. But in the end, it turned out to be a blessing. So I'll tell you all about what we went through and how we overcame it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between colic, gas, and reflux? Because you hear those words thrown out so much.
Absolutely. And they're so, in my opinion, they're so closely connected. But persistently trapped gas can definitely be a source of colic.
Okay, since so trapped
would
gas.
It would meet the rule of three criteria by definition. So, and some babies get more gas than others, just like more adults.
And they just can't pass it?
It's exactly. Gas is totally normal. We all get gas. I mean, let's face it, right? It's a matter of how easily it passes.
Okay.
If it gets trapped, it is buoyant. So there's plenty of places where it can get trapped. And the most painful is often in the intestines. And that's really where the coordination that comes with development over time plays a part. Yes, there are some babies, very few I find, that are born into this world from the very start and function perfectly.
Right.
Most babies simply have an immature gut, immature systems, nervous system, and it takes a little while for all those muscles to learn to coordinate effectively so that they can eliminate the gas that's in their system. And remember that gas can be taken in through the mouth, through crying or nursing or feeding, but it's also a natural byproduct of digestion. Mm-hmm. So it's created in the intestines, and it's a matter of how baby can, you know, push that through effectively.
So is colic another form of gas, or?
Colic definitely incorporates gas. And again, it's a fine line. Is a baby just gassy, or is a baby mm-hmm. colicky? Nowadays, there are 25% of babies are diagnosed with quote unquote colic.
25%. I would almost think it would be like 99.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, that didn't happen. We all have gas. That's for sure.
I hated using that term because I just said, oh, he's got an upset tummy. But it's colic. Oh, it's colic.
It's so
your baby colic?
Exactly.
And I was like, I don't like that term. It's a bad tummy. So how does reflux fit into all this?
Well, that's interesting. As for reflux, NPR just ran a big story on how overdiagnosed it is these days. And there's been a growing trend of treating infant colic with prescription drugs like Zantac and Prevacid that basically suppress the body's production of stomach acid. So they can result in side effects because they do disrupt the body's natural digestive processes, especially in delicate developing newborns. So if we take a closer look at reflux, which is simply defined as the backward flow of stomach contents into the esophagus, we see that reflux is a normal, common process that occurs from time to time in almost everyone, all ages, particularly after meals. Almost all babies will regurgitate or spit up after some feedings, whether they're breastfed or formula fed. It does peak between 1 and 4 months of age and usually resolves on its own as baby's esophageal sphincter muscles coordinate by 12 months.
Okay, so is that just for reflux or is that colic and gas as well?
Right. Well, actually GERD, as many people improperly term it, is the gastroesophageal reflux disease,
yeah, which
right?
I got diagnosed with that as well. But again, I talked to somebody else who is more homeopathic and they said, I think doctors went to a convention and decided to diagnose everybody as that because it's very rare. But yeah, all of a sudden everybody has it.
Very, very rare. And all of a sudden everybody has it and they've got a drug for it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of gas and gurgling in baby's stomach, and that pressure can certainly force stomach contents back up too, which is why babies often spit up. Again, they're developing and they have an esophageal sphincter that takes time to coordinate, like the other muscles in their body and their digestive tract.
Okay. So
very closely related, colic, gas, and reflux. They all can be signs of, you know, digestive upset.
And do we just have to live with it until it gets
until
older?
Babies work it all out on their own? Yes. And my feeling is, you know, the less we interfere and let them figure it out on their own, the better.
What age does it start and what age is it over? And I ask that because when I brought my son in who screamed nonstop for the first month, and I'm not joking.
I was there. I know. I know firsthand.
When I finally took him in to the doctor and he was maybe a week old or something, and the lactation consultant, the doctors, everyone kept saying, well, he's a little too young to have colic, but... You know, that's what he's, I mean, it's not just the crying, it's the clenching up. Like all of a sudden he'd be out cold and you'd see his tummy just gurgle. And then all of a sudden he'd be up screaming, clenching his belly.
They let us know when they're hurting,
yeah.
For sure.
And it wasn't a spit up necessary. It was like you saw his tummy, like, you know.
Right. And maybe you could even feel the bubbles and the hard tummy.
But they all said he was too young. And then other people kept saying, well, don't worry, by month three, it's over. But it wasn't over by month three. So what is the age category that it typically falls underneath?
Right. Typically is the key word. You and I both had it very early on with our children.
And that's normal? I mean, it can be normal?
It can be. It can be. Again, you know, they're learning to function for the first time. They've never digested food. So it is tricky for them to figure it all out, a lot of them. And some have a very, very difficult time, like our children, it sounds. Mine was pretty much from the moment we came back from the hospital. Mm-hmm. I would say 24 hours it started. We didn't sleep the first night home. And talk about rude awakenings. Wow. Boot camp.
Really? Serious. Just out of the blue, your kid would just start screaming? Or what's
yes, he would not sleep for longer than 20 minutes at a stretch.
Yeah. Oh my God. What's the 20-minute thing?
I know. I got 20 minutes just as I'm dozing off, like, oh, phew. And then it was like war torture. Ah! And of course, you know, feeling totally powerless to help this child. I did everything in my human power to console him. And it was just beyond me. It was something that was going on inside his little body. For sure. Mm.
See, my son, my first son, who's now 21 months old, he definitely had gas issues. Mm-hmm. He couldn't, he just wasn't excreting properly. I mean, the doctor had me, like, put him on prune juice and all this other kind of stuff. And I never, you know, classified it as colic. There were definitely times where I could not do anything to console him. You know, like, I'm trying to move his little baby legs and do all this stuff.
Yeah, the bicycle and the football hold, you know, about applying gentle pressure to the tummy.
Yeah, so I was trying to do all that kind of stuff. For me, it was somewhat manageable. Like, I mean, people kept telling me this was normal. So mm-hmm. At what point do you say, okay, this isn't normal anymore?
Exactly.
This is a problem.
Right. Well, it really depends, you know, on how often it's occurring and how much agony your child is in, I think. If it's just a general fussing and irritability and restlessness, I mean, that happens to all kids.
Okay.
But usually around 2 weeks, you will know if baby's got some serious problems dealing, coordinating with everything.
Okay.
So I would say 2 to 3 weeks is usually when you see some very clear signs of colic. Then it peaks at about 2 months, and generally it subsides by 3.5, 4 months. But there are cases that go on to 6 months, and even a year, possibly.
Oh, wow.
Very rarely, but it could go on a year.
So how do you know if it's gas and colic or just food allergies? Because now I wonder, Mm-hmm. I mean, the doctors kept saying, of course, because they're trying to eliminate everything. They said, all right, try to stop eating this, try to stop eating that. But at my diet at the time, it was so inconsistent. I wasn't really having milk. I wasn't doing all this stuff. So come to 6 months old, I give him food, and actually he's got tons and tons of, not necessarily food allergies, because my doctor doesn't call them that, but food intolerances, because he'll
sensitivities.
Says he'll outgrow them. So how do I know if it's colic or just an allergy?
Oh, if it's an allergy, that's a good question, because it can definitely be allergy or sensitivity related. There are certain foods or vitamins in the mom's diet and baby's diet that certainly might cause a reaction. And again, nursing, lots of foods pass from mom to infant, mm-hmm. so that could be another reason. Common culprits are definitely, number one, dairy. Mm-hmm. So if you can eliminate dairy, you might see a huge improvement. A lot of moms can't do it, though. So it depends on how bad it is and how much you're willing to, you know, eliminate from your diet. Also, acidic fruits and vegetables, high-fat foods, caffeine, chocolate, all the good stuff, basically.
I know, seriously.
Carbonated beverages, processed foods.
Basically all food.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a very bland diet if you want to work on the sensitivities.
Hmm. Would you recommend alleviating one at a time to kind of monitor them?
For sure. And keeping a daily journal or log can help you determine reactions that your baby might be having. And an elimination diet can be very helpful. Hmm. And usually a healthcare provider will help you with that.
Awesome. So when we come back, we'll talk about the ways that we can cure colic. We'll be back shortly.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're back with Jacqueline Lawrence, founder of Call It Calm. Let's talk about cures. So if I go to a doctor, what are they going to do?
Okay. Internal treatment options are fairly limited, but definitely preferable to waiting it out, I would say, having been there myself for 4 months. Well, I've mentioned prescription reflux medications like Zantac and Prevacid, which in my opinion should be reserved until all other options have been exhausted. Why not try something natural first and foremost? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, that's all you need. But speaking with your doctor is definitely helpful in deciding what's right for you.
And you recommend it not being the first option?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really depends on the parent. You know, if that is something that they want to try right off the bat, the big guns of pharmaceuticals, up to you, really. But I would highly recommend that you do your homework. You know, that's why this radio show is here, mm-hmm. so that people know they have options. Because if they don't know their options, they don't have any, mm-hmm. right? And so my mission is to let parents know that they can be their child's own best advocate.
Mm-hmm. Gina, it's interesting. We actually were seeing one pediatrician, and then we got my son circumcised, and we had to go do a checkup at the pediatrician who did it. And I was talking to him, and he just, instead of... the first pediatrician gave me his prescription to Zantac, and then this pediatrician, just the first thing off the bat, he said, "Well, try this bacteria, Lactobacillus reuteri helps with it."
Yay.
And actually we switched pediatricians, even though he's totally different views than me, but we switched pediatricians because he was more prone to try the natural way
I
of just
love
giving
that.
Me of, and I never would have thought about that. I never would have thought, "Oh, I'll try a probiotic."
Right.
Because I would have just trusted my doctor to give me whatever. And of course, I told you, they gave me GERD, and then I was like, oh, he's got GERD. Oh, my goodness.
No.
So tell me about some other options that we can do to treat this holistically.
Great. Next, we have over-the-counter simethicone, commonly known as Gastrops.
And is that like Mylocon?
Exactly. There are tons of different brand names, but all Gastrops are made of simethicone. And it's a synthetic chemical anti-foaming agent that basically works in theory by binding the gas bubbles together at the top of the stomach in hopes that they'll be easier to burp out.
And this is this would be natural?
Not at all. All chemical, synthetic, anti-foaming agent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. At best, it works on the bubbles at the top of the stomach, but it does nothing for the very painful intestinal gas that is, of course, a natural byproduct of digestion. It also requires dosing at every feeding, when gas most commonly occurs, and studies do not show that it works any more than a placebo.
So why would people use it then?
Because up to now, it says gas drops. Yeah. They trust that what it says on the shelf, it's worth a try, especially desperate
parents. And,
parents.
For us, it worked, but it wasn't... It wasn't the miracle drug. You know? It worked a little bit.
And see, it may have just been a placebo. It's hard to know, really. But the studies...
It was a good night.
Yeah, it was a good night. That's it. I know. A bit of hope. Lunch bag let down. No.
I know.
There are traditional gripe waters, which are dietary supplements. And they contain water, sugar, some herbal oils,
ginger.
Or extract. Exactly. A few drops of herbal oils and extracts like ginger, fennel, cumin, caraway, chamomile. And a good dose of sodium bicarbonate, which is otherwise known as baking soda.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And basically,
I've heard of that. Someone gave me that in my pregnancy to take to help me in my indigestion.
It can. It can. If you have a very acidic stomach, you know, it can neutralize temporarily, which is, it's okay as a Band-Aid approach on occasion.
Okay.
But it even says on Tums, do not take for more than 2 weeks. Mm. And on the box of baking soda, it says do not give to babies under 5 years of age. Mm. So, again, you've got to look at things. Up to now, it's probably been the best option out there. But again, changing the pH balance is something you're interfering in the baby's delicate digestive process.
Well, we were doing a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Mm-hmm.
Whatever works.
I know. I mean, the studies show, honestly, that the old-fashioned gripe waters work no better than sugar water, which is a placebo, of course. So,
it's tasty. We use ours at the end of the day to get him to take the pacifier. Dip.
Oh, it's sweet. Yeah.
So after trying all these options, and actually we found... relief from Mylocon and some of the gripe waters and stuff like there. And I went online to look what are other people showing. And a lot of people said Colicom. And from my understanding, Colicom has charcoal in it. And it's funny because just prior to being... having a child, my husband and I were traveling to Indonesia and he got a parasite, and the first thing they did was give him charcoal. We were like, what the heck is this black
stuff?
Yeah,
the rest of the world knows about this.
I know.
We don't.
I know. And then a friend of mine who's a paramedic, he said, well, that's what we give to people who OD on drugs because it absorbs the drugs.
Exactly.
So tell me, how does the charcoal work in Colicom? What's that about?
It's true. Activated charcoal. It sounds a bit weird.
Like, I know. Like
barbecue charcoal. No, we're talking about pharmaceutical grade, vegetable sourced charcoal, which hospitals, doctors know about. It's used in the ER all the time for treating any kind of toxic overload, because it absorbs so nicely. They used to use Ipecac, but they didn't like the fact that it was bringing the poisons back up through the esophagus. Mm. So therefore, they see great promise in activated charcoal more and more, even though it's such an old remedy. It dates back to Egyptian times for tummy troubles and gases and that sort of thing. Mm. It basically attracts the gases. And each molecule of carbon has like all these little tiny tunnels that trap the gas bubbles. So it attracts them like a magnet. It traps them. This is all gently and harmlessly. It's all passing right through the digestive system.
Does it mess with the flora or anything?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't get absorbed into the body in any way. It just passes through naturally and fully and gently. And it attracts all of these gas bubbles that can be causing so much pain and toxins also. So it's just a wonderful natural remedy that Mother Nature has provided. And we definitely use it in our formula.
So tell us, how does Colicom work? You use the charcoal. Anything
That's true.
Else?
Yes, we have 8 other homeopathic remedies. Each are time proven over hundreds of years. I mean, all are very recognizable. Nothing scary. Aloe, blackthorn, caraway, chamomile, lemon balm, fennel, ginger, peppermint. And they're all in micro doses, so super small amounts. Each remedy that we use is on the FDA's GRAS list, is generally recognized as safe. Mm-hmm. And it all comes from the HPUS, the Homeopathic Pharmacopeia of the United States. So it's just the combination. These are age-old remedies. It's the combination that's so novel, safe, and effective.
And how quickly will you see results after using something like this?
That's the great thing. Everybody, we live in a day and age of instant gratification. If something doesn't show pretty measurable results on the first dose, we're going to chuck it, right? Mm-hmm. Move on to the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where we deliver. Of course, the younger the baby, usually the results are more obvious.
Okay.
Because, as babies get older.
How old do you keep giving it to them?
It really depends how often they need it. The other beauty of Colicom is that it's only as needed. And a little goes a long way. And babies love the taste. I mean, love it. So it's easy to administer. Nobody wants to fight with their baby to take something.
Oh.
So within minutes, because usually they love the taste. So they're surprised. They're pleasantly surprised. And what's this? And then they forget that they're no longer in pain. So they're all happy.
Yeah,
well, we can turn them on a dime. It's pretty amazing most of the time. Yes.
Wow. And you're probably wishing you had this when your son was little.
Of course, but I wouldn't have had a second child without this product. Yes. So, and we did. We were on the same trajectory. It was a carbon copy. People said it couldn't happen twice.
Oh, really?
We have so many. We have thousands of testimonials, and many of them are parents saying, you know what? We would not have had more children. So it can be so traumatic.
Oh,
I've talked to moms that had it 30 years ago and they're like, oh, I remember. What a nightmare. So it's really nice that these days there's a pretty amazing option.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you use these in conjunctions with the medicine? So if the doctor gives you Zantac, do you use Calm with it or Gripe Waters or Mylocon?
You know, there really isn't a need. Unless a baby has a medical condition, this is pretty much a miracle in a bottle for good reason. That's what customers tell us all the time. I mean, you don't want to give them more than they need. Mm-hmm. And our philosophy is really step in and help baby when they need help the most, all in stimulating their own self-healing. That's another wonderful thing about homeopathy. The basic principle is that you're helping baby to self-heal. Isn't that wonderful? Instead of suppressing symptoms, you're encouraging their own body to figure it out on their own.
So, but probiotics and Colicom could work well together, you know?
Absolutely. Perfect combination, those two. But in terms of, you know, a reflux medication and Colicom, pretty much not needed.
Any last tips to tell parents out there to help them with their colicky babies, like infant massage?
Definitely. All of those wonderful things that create, you know, a relaxing environment are so soothing for baby and mom and dad.
So you think it helps them pass gas easier if they've just kind of relaxed?
For sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be able to perform under tension?
Yeah.
Right? It just makes sense. The more relaxed, the more comforting and
upright
loving.
Upright positions, they say?
That can help a lot. Definitely. Again, bouncing on the ball vertically, very gently. They say a 45 degree angle is very helpful for babies because totally upright might cause more pressure on their tummy. So it depends. If they've just eaten and their tummies are full, you know, you have to work with the angle. Again, every baby's a little different, so trial and error. You've got to find just the right things for your little one.
I learned how to nurse my child with him sitting on my lap, like infant, like upright, so then he controlled the flow, and then also his tummy was up, and like we saw a world of difference with his gas as well.
Great. But yeah, it's working, you know, trial and error, working out those techniques and getting the help you need.
Thanks to Jacqueline Lawrence for helping us learn about curing colic. If you want more information on Colic Calm, go to today's show on the episodes page of parentsavers.com or visit colicalm.com. And if you'd like to win a free bottle of Colic Calm, simply visit the contest page on the website or visit our Facebook fan page for details.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Before we wrap up today's show, here is a question for one of our experts.
Hi, this is Lisa from Australia again. I have a question for Parent Savers for the postpartum doula. So I've heard that in some European countries, the government actually provides every new mother with a postpartum doula. So I know that that's probably not possible here in the United States, but are postpartum doulas at least covered by health insurance here? Thank you.
Hi, Lisa. This is Rosemary Mason, and I'm the postpartum doula, and I'm really happy to answer your question. Yes, there is insurance reimbursement for birth and postpartum doulas. There is a form on the DONA website that you can download, or we can send one to you to give to your clients. And on that, we give the diagnostic code and the CPT code, things that the insurance company would need. And you would just personally then call or have your client call the insurance company, their insurance company, give them these codes, tell them what it's for postpartum work or labor support, and they will give you what their recommendation is or how many visits you get. Not all insurance covers doula work at this time, but we are working on that. So the more people that call in and ask about doula work, then the more need that the insurance will see there's a need for that. So if you have any other questions, just call the line and we'll get back to you on that. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
That wraps up today's episode. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions for our expert about today's show or the topics we discuss, call our Parent Savers hotline at 619-866- 1-800-273-4775 or send us an email through our website, parentsavers.com, or our Facebook page, and we'll answer your question in an upcoming episode. Thanks for listening to Parent Savers, empowering new parents everywhere.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.